We're here with Gregory Erdstein and Alice Fulcher, who have the Australian premiere of their film That's Not Me this weekend at the Sydney Film Festival. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
So it's a really fun film. Tell us about That's Not Me.
Well, That's Not Me is about a struggling, aspiring actress, Polly Cuthbert, who has an identical twin sister, Amy Cuthbert, who gets cast in a big US TV show opposite Jared Leto and basically over the course of the movie becomes Hollywood famous, which essentially ruins Polly's life. So it's kind of about, I guess in some ways it's a feel-good film about disappointment and what happens at that point in your life when you realise that maybe all of your childhood dreams aren't going to work out exactly how you thought they would.
But that's okay. Yeah.
Now, you wrote the film together. How did you? It's a really great novel idea. How did you conceive of this project?
It was kind of based on an experience that we had where we saw a film with a friend of a friend of a friend at a festival, and we were commenting on that actor afterwards, and I said to her, Alice, are you sure that's not their twin? Because last time we'd seen them is that Alice had said to them, oh, I saw you on a billboard the other day. And it's like, oh, no, that's my twin. And sure enough, we had this entire critique of this person's performance, and ultimately it turned out to be their twin. So that was kind of the beginning of the kernel of the idea of, like, what would happen if you were existing in an industry where your entire currency is yourself. And there was someone else out there who was kind of either giving you a good or a bad name or doing the work that necessarily you didn't want to be known for. So that's kind of what the idea.
Or out there fulfilling your dreams as well. And I think we took it kind of beyond twins for the idea that everyone's got that kind of twinship with someone, whether it's like a sibling or someone you went to high school with or uni or whatever, and how unhealthy it is to track your progress against the progress of somebody else. Yeah.
Alice, you got to play Polly and her twin in this film. How did you find that experience?
I actually really enjoyed it. It's funny, we left that scene until quite late in the shoot and I was really nervous about it. But I think because I'd spent so long being Polly and she's such a sad sack, and so it's quite a heavy headspace to be in. So I remember we had, I put on shoes with a bit more of a heel and I put on a leather jacket and my makeup was done awesome and I came out as Amy. And there was something really liberating about being the successful one for half a day, and I felt fantastic. And it was actually way easier than I thought it was going to be. I think I just built myself up to it being terrifying, but I really enjoyed it. It was heaps of fun. And we also had two amazing actresses who I went to drama school with, Emily Thomas and Erica Field, and they each acted opposite me as the other twin. So I wasn't just someone there sitting there reading the lines for me. It was someone giving me an amazing performance. They'd learn all of these six pages of lines. They'd come to rehearsals and then cut them out of the film. So it was a really selfless thing they did to help make my performance better. Yeah.
Now, it is a really snappy film. There is a lot of great dialogue. And what I found remarkable was you really balanced the awkward, some of the humour, like the cringy, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening, with really aspirational aspects of the film too. How did you find balancing those two very different elements of the movie?
I think that's actually kind of, I think, the balance of both of our personalities, because we met at film school and we're married 4 years later, 4 or 5 years later. I've forgotten the date. I'm
something
sorry,
like
honey.
That.
Yeah. But at film school, those were kind of like the two halves of the film's personality, is that I tended to make quite dark, cynical comedies, whereas Alice made these beautiful, sincere dramas. And it was only after about 2 years having left film school that we then started collaborating. And I think once we started collaborating, we kind of hit on this kind of thing that worked for both of us, where, yeah, we were able to have those kinds of awkward moments or sincere moments, but that we could then undercut with, an element of realism or cynicism. But ultimately, what we found with the films that we were making is that there was a heart to them, and that's kind of, I think, the thing that really kind of excites us about this style of comedy, is not being too depressing. Like I said before, it's a film about disappointment, but it's a feel good film about disappointment. It's about finding the good in those moments. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually much like our relationship works when you think about it. Like
finding good in the awkward moments. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of like, I'm a pretty classic optimist, life, you know, glass half full. Whereas Greggles is a little bit more cynical, and he brings me back down to earth. And realistic. I think he's realistic. I'm a pragmatist, you know. Yeah. And I think that kind of, that we balance each other out, and I think we bring out the opposite in each other in a really nice way. And I'm very sincere and heartfelt, but I feel like I've brought some of that to the film, whereas I think he's just taught me how to be funny. I feel like the films I made at VCA and just afterwards were pretty humorless. So I think you've brought out the funnier side of me in the past few years. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It is a very funny film, and there's an amazing scene early on where you're front and center during an audition. Oh, how did you? It's grueling, but also absolutely hilarious. How did you go about putting this together?
Oh, I loved doing that scene, and those three actors are three of Australia's, like, I think, best actors. You've got Artie Angel, Ming Zhu He, and Ben Rigby, who is just in Alien, and they're in these tiny roles, and they are so funny. But they are also really intimidating, or they were that day to me anyway. So it was really helpful for me being able to sit there with this lone girl on one side with this panel of three brilliant, experienced actors with all of my own insecurities of feeling this is my first feature film. And I think that actually really helped Polly feel that insecurity, is that I'm pretty insecure. So, yeah, I think that's how we kind of approached it. It's actually probably one of our favourite scenes in the film. Mm. And, yeah, I'd say that. We often say that, don't we?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of one of those scenes that kind of encapsulates the entire film, is that it's obviously a case of mistaken identity, but it's just says so much about, I guess, what we kind of, from the outside looking in, see about creative industries in general, that oftentimes it doesn't actually matter if you are virtually the same person as someone else. If that other person has a certain other kind of thing going for them, then you'll always get overlooked, and it's just the nature of the industry. And I guess that's kind of one of the things that I really love about that scene as well, is it's just like, it's the film in a scene. Yeah.
I think it's really something people in the industry can absolutely relate to. And as well as the sequence where you go to the United States, there's a part where filmed in LA, you meet up with Australian actress Isabel Lucas playing a character in the film. How did you find filming and working within Los Angeles?
That sequence really special to me. I've known Isabel for about a decade now. We met at acting school when I moved to Melbourne, and she'd just finished on Home and Away. And the character of Zoe Cooper in the film, we initially wrote as Isabel Lucas, and it was based on conversations that her and I had had about aging in Hollywood, being offered the pretty girl roles, and it was actually really personal to her. And I think we decided it was a little too close to the bone, so we changed it to a fictional character and made her a bit wackier and a bit more out there, as you've seen, and which was great fun for her. And she's an incredibly perceptive human being as well. And so there was really special personal stuff in that scene on the beach for me. In terms of shooting in LA, we actually shot all the stuff with Isabel in Melbourne. And then all of the exteriors were just me, Greg, and the DOP, Shelley Farthing-Dorr, shooting gorilla on without permits on the streets of LA.
Yeah, well... We had permits, right? Yeah.
Doesn't matter. So, I think they're pretty used to people filming over in LA, so no one even batted an eyelid when we pulled out a camera on Hollywood Boulevard. It's pretty normal.
And Rowan Davey had an absolutely hilarious role in the film. It was wonderful.
I want to really stress to everyone that Rowan is nothing like his character. Yeah, he's a beautiful human being.
Yeah, once you've seen the film, just try not to... If you see Rowan on the street, just try not to... see him as the character Oliver Brooke, but it's like we were saying earlier, his character is, I think everyone knows that character, and I think he is also, I guess, this kind of, in some ways, this personification of an industry that's kind of a deaf machine when it comes to people's personalities and indiscretions along the way. And he's actually a very interesting character because he is in some ways the villain of the piece, as much as there is one in the film, but he's also one of the most successful people in the film. There's actually nothing about his career that's going badly in the film, but he's just a kind of, in some ways, reprehensible human being. But it's not like those people don't succeed in every aspect of life. So
at the end of the film, he might get a small piece of comeuppance in his own way, but he still walks away ready to direct his first feature film. So,
spoiler alert.
Mm. Yeah, and it was also great to work with Rowan because he and I went to drama school together at QUT 13 years ago, and this is the first thing we've made together since drama school. So, I mean, that was the best thing about making the film, really, was making this independent, low-budget film was we weren't beholden to any funding bodies or any distributors, so we got to work with exactly who we wanted to work with, whether it's costume designer, editor, cast, and we got to make a film with our friends, and every day when we turned up on set, it was fun. Mm. I wish it could always be like that.
It sounds like so much fun, and you're premiering in Australia at the Sydney Film Festival this weekend. How do you feel?
It's tremendously exciting because I think there was a period like 6 months ago we just didn't know who or when this film would be seen by anyone. So to be premiering here at the Sydney Film Festival, it's just like it's really quite surreal. Like being at opening night last night and seeing all of those amazing filmmakers and actors and just to be a part of, to be in the same festival as all of these amazing films is quite surreal and bizarre from where we started making this small film with our friends. So, yeah, it's amazing.
It's so true, isn't it? Because you get bogged down in the idea that there's politics involved in all of these things and you have to have a funding body or a distributor pushing you into major festivals. And it's really heartening for us that we are just this tiny little film. It's beyond our wildest dreams to be able to premiere at Sydney, and then we're going to MIFF as well afterwards, which are the two best film festivals in Australia. So it's awesome.